time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar, the man who is once again leading the bandwagon for his beloved Cincinnati Reds. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Yes, I am. Red legs. Let's go.
Yeah, you already put the red stuff away. You had to go like 8 feet deep in that closet full of clothes.
I had to go dig through my jerseys and my shirts and my knee knickers.
Here's the thing, Tuna.
My stirrup socks.
I thought he was just going to stop at knees.
I have a feeling that if you or I, first of all, I don't have enough clothes to ever really put anything away,
per se.
But I have a feeling it's a completely different animal when Freddie puts his stuff away. Mm-hmm. Like, it might take him upwards of a week to get through it to find what he's actually looking for.
Well, I think they have two bedrooms in their house completely dedicated to Fred's clothing articles.
I do have a huge shelf that is Bengals and Reds, so I didn't have to look far.
Well, you could probably go on and put the Bengals stuff away for
and
the
I
season.
Almost put all the Bama stuff up, but I got it back out. No.
Oh.
Isn't it fun to get all your Reds gear back and go, let's go! And then you bring it out, and it's all bad luck.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Don't black cat them just yet.
I should not wear any Reds gear and just...
Well,
a little late for that.
Fred and I...
I got my good luck gold on, though.
Yeah.
My De La Cruz gold.
Fred and I are both wearing Reds shirts of some description. Tuna, I think, representing the fact that this is Ryder Cup week, is resplendent in his PGA Championship Valhalla t-shirt.
All right. And, of course, his Fernando Valenzuela hat.
Yeah, and he's got his Dodgers cap on. We will talk a little bit. I know it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. We have a ton of stuff to get to tonight. So just very quickly, off the top of the program, want to remind everybody that we are on social media on Twitter and Facebook. Colin, actually, last week, I don't even think I told you guys this, he put together a couple of little trial things for TikTok, which we're going to get off the ground. And I thought it turned, and he was like, I need to work on this and find some better editing stuff and things like that. But I thought it was pretty cool. And this week, I'm going to make sure that at the end of the program that I do a little condensed version of our picks, so that he can at least get those out on TikTok, because there was no way, given our relative meandering, it takes us 15 minutes to get through our picks sometimes. So at the end of the program tonight, we'll all give our picks, and then I will give a condensed version of those picks. So you can look for us to be on TikTok, hopefully, this coming week.
But just let everyone know, Travis, that the fire trucks are outside parked. Because we are hot.
Well, we are hot.
Still.
You a big TikTok guy, Fred?
What about TikTok?
I just picture you doing a bunch of Macarena dances in front of the camera and sending them out. I don't know. Like,
I thought we were going to be on TikTok.
I think we are. I think that's what Travis just talked about.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I'm new to the TikTok world. I don't know much about it. So I'm dipping the toe in with you guys.
Yep. Well, Colin, of course, is from the younger generation that understands all that stuff.
Thank God for Colin.
So we're going to put him in charge. I mean, he has to do something to carry his weight because clearly he has been dragging the gambling average of this particular program down on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you're going to have to tighten up, Colin. It's time.
Yeah. Last week, we were not as incredible as we had been the previous 2 weeks, but we still went a very respectable 13-7, which brings our overall record through 4 weeks to 56-23-1 against the spread. Last week I was 3-2. Tuna and Freddie continuing their incredibly hot streaks, both at 4-1, and Colin 2-3. So we look forward to this week having another successful week. If you enjoy the show and if you know someone who might like to sprinkle a little cash on college football from time to time, let them know about our show. Let them know that I'm pretty sure that we have the best record of any show against the spread through 4 weeks, and I don't anticipate that changing anytime soon. Now, going back to last week, we did have some pivotal games that we had previewed on the program last week, and I wanted to briefly touch on some of those games. The one that I think Fred had to remind me of that I'd skipped over on the notes towards the end of the program. It was a surprising game to me for a couple of different reasons, and I wanted to start with this one. That's Texas Tech and Utah. Texas Tech just continues to impress, and that game in particular I found very impressive. I never felt like Utah was really in the ball game. What did you guys think about that? And is Texas Tech is Texas Tech as good as they appear to be?
Yeah, and Utah's worse.
I think there's a handful of teams that you look at that have actually been tested and still looked good, and you can comfortably say that they're a playoff contender at this point in the season.
Oh yeah.
And Texas Tech is definitely on that list. They that's a good Utah team, regardless of what Freddie says. Texas Tech going in there and just it, that, you know, Utah's a tough place to win. They did not stop at all. They've got weapon after weapon. Texas Tech beat you in like 8 different ways.
Yeah.
And there's no way to really game plan for them because they'll just get you.
They're strong on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Different guys making plays each week. It's not like a handful of guys. It's, I mean, they're an all-around football team.
You heard what the coach said. He's like, I know it is a presser, he said.
That was a burrito.
That was a burrito. in his presser, he said, you know, I know that everyone's been talking about money, how much money we've spent and what players we got, but we are a tight unit that plays for each other. I mean, I feel like they're all cylinders.
I think Dan Lanning had the best quote when you talk about money. He said, to win in this league, you got to spend, and we're dedicated to winning.
That's
so
right.
So, I mean, that's a fact.
That's right.
But the Big 12 does look tough, in my opinion. I think teams like, we knew TCU and Baylor were going to be good, and I think they are playing well. I know Baylor lost this week in a tight one, but you know, TCU's 4. Houston's 3-0.
Love this Houston team.
Yeah, TCU, Central Florida's 3-0. Arizona's 3-0. BYU, that's still a strong conference. I'm not saying that the winner. Maybe they may not get 2, but they could.
I think they could easily get 2.
They could get 2.
Yeah, I mean, I think ACC's a one-bid league this year, so that would leave an open spot for the Big 12 to get 2.
Right.
For sure. I don't know if I'm looking at this league and I'm like, who has a shot to legitimately compete for a national championship? I think Texas Tech's probably the only team that
yeah,
could.
Yeah, I just Iowa State, I have them to win the conference, and they do have a good defense, but I don't think they have enough firepower up on offense to do that. I think Texas Tech does.
I do, too. I think Texas Tech is the most all-around team in the Big 12.
And maybe TCU could do something. You never know. But
maybe.
They did beat Auburn.
Yeah, big test this week for TCU, I believe.
Oh, there's some great games this week. This is a huge week.
It really is.
But thanks for mentioning that game, Travis.
I did. I wanted to bring that up right off the bat because I know you were definitely wanting to talk. And they are very impressive. I was extremely impressed.
I mean, 34-10 at Utah is that's a statement. Win.
Yep, it certainly was. Another big-time game in the SEC last week was Auburn and Oklahoma, which was not without some controversy. And then coming out of the game, we heard the huge news that just broke this afternoon that Oklahoma's quarterback is going to be missing for quite a while, too.
Wow. That's just – I saw that right before I headed over here. I was shocked.
Yeah, apparently he's going to have surgery on his throwing hand and, what do they say, probably out for a month or so, something like that.
Yep.
That's one tough son of a gun. Did y'all notice his hand was hurt at all in that game?
No.
I didn't either.
I didn't. I mean,
I was not glued to the television watching that. I was watching like four different games.
Right.
And I don't think I ever had the sound up. So I don't know if, the announcers ever brought that up or saw anything. Maybe they did. I'm not sure. But it seemed like the news came out of left field to even like national college football people today. We're very surprised.
Right.
Freddie's phone is fully charged, apparently.
That's old El Paso calling and wanting their burritos back. I think the thing that stands
that was
out.
A Greek calling me.
The thing that stands out in this game is Oklahoma had 32 rushing yards. I mean, you got to be better than that.
I was reading some analytics stuff when the news
John
about
was 29 of those
about the quarterback came out, and they were saying that they rank near the bottom of Power Four teams as far as rushing per game goes, and so they're going to be relying heavily on a backup quarterback for the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, they're going to have to work that out.
I don't know what their schedule looks like going forward. I can check that real quick.
When you have a defense like Oklahoma has, which is a damn good defense, it'd be nice to complement that with a solid running game, and they have yet to be able to show that.
They looked as strong on the defensive line as how you did this week. You know, they can really bust a line open.
Yeah, it's a really solid defense. It's just I'm a little concerned about old Boomer Sooner going forward.
I tell you,
Michael Hawkins, is that who the quarterback is? I guess it's going to be the
guy. Is
that
who's going to be the second guy?
It was last year, and he wasn't bad, but he's not necessarily.
Well, they're going to run a little – now, they do luck out a little bit in the short term as they have a bye week, and then they play Kent State. But then right after that, it's at Texas.
It's the Red River.
Yep.
At the Cotton Bowl.
At South Carolina, which at one point we thought was going to be a more difficult challenge than it appears that it's going to be now.
I don't know. I think Fred and I were both kind of like, they're not that good.
No, I ain't worried. I wouldn't worry. I think Kentucky can beat them this weekend at South Carolina.
Then they've got Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Alabama back to back to back.
Yeah.
So that's about the time that you would hope that Mateer comes back, and for their sake, I hope he comes back because that's a pretty difficult.
But if you want to look at the SEC, I mean, just every team you look on the schedule, I mean, there's 10 ranked teams out of 16. So
there it is.
Every team that you play in the SEC except for the bottom four is going to be a tough game. So you just name the team, and I'll tell you who they're, who's up next.
Now, did you guys get into any of this?
Had to fit that in there, didn't you?
I did.
Did you guys get into any of this controversial call that happened in this game where Oklahoma apparently ran some sort of illegal play to score a touchdown?
Yeah, and I guess SEC apologized afterwards and said that they screwed up. They suspended the official, right?
I believe they did.
So I didn't read into the nuts and bolts of what it was that went wrong there.
Well, I really didn't either.
He was acting like he was supposed to go out of bounds, but he didn't, and he just stood there in bounds. And then when the play – and he was behind the line of scrimmage. And then when the play hit, he just – took 10 steps.
Oh,
and he was there.
Yeah,
and
that used to be legal, and they
right,
made it legal
it used
a few
to be legal.
Ago.
Yeah, now it's not. And I think the refs just missed it and thought that he was lined up out there.
Oh, well, I'm sure they did.
But how about that safety, too, baby? Let's go. Safety
yeah, that
for
was
Vegas.
That was a tremendous win for Freddie. We were sitting out on the deck here at my house getting ready to watch the Indiana game, and Freddie was lamenting the fact that he wasn't going to cover that game. He'd been on such a hot streak.
That was for 280.
And then of course the big safety happens at the end of the game, not only to ice the game for Oklahoma, but to give Freddie a tremendous backdoor cover, as it were.
And parlay, yes. That was probably the greatest horrible beat for a lot and best beat for me ever.
Yes. Also want to talk about another game in the Big Ten that a lot of national people were focused on because they're two of the biggest brands in college football history. Michigan went out to Nebraska, and Nebraska still has not won a big game in seemingly – a decade.
I mean, it's the Biff Poggi factor. Sharon Moore's coaching that game, Nebraska wins. There's no other way to put it. The man knows ball.
That game was, I mean, they just matched each other. I mean, wasn't it 10-10, 14-14, 17-17, yeah. You know, 21-21 or whatever. I mean, that was... Travis said it would be a great game, and both of y'all did, and it was.
Two mediocre teams just trading blows.
Yeah, just trading blows.
It was a slap
blows,
fight.
And then Michigan,
that's what it was, a
then,
slap fight.
But that running back, Justice Haynes, for Michigan is special.
Yeah, he's good.
He runs like Marcus Allen.
Okay.
And, you know, quarterback play at Michigan in that particular game was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That Raiola kid made a lot of good plays. He still made a couple of huge mistakes. He still, I think, overcomplicates things because he thinks he's Patrick Mahomes. And a couple of times, even the announcers were calling him out like, dude, you didn't need to throw that one underhanded. You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm always the apologist for Dylan Raiola here, but like, he is just a true sophomore, correct?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the time he gets over some of these growing pains, man.
I mean, a lot
of these quarterbacks that were propping up on this pedestal this year, and a lot of – you look at your Heisman finalist right now. They're all, like, fifth-year seniors,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
– there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I just think he needs to find his own identity a little bit more than – being Patrick Mahomes Jr.
Playing a couple weeks ago at Arrowhead Stadium didn't help.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, it didn't.
And I just think Michigan, I just think they lost so much on their defense. They're just, they can't stop anybody. So I'm not truly worried about them.
No, I think that Michigan and Nebraska are two solid football teams, but they are not, in my opinion. Now, maybe Michigan's schedule lines up for them to have it, and it probably does, but they're going to have to play Ohio State. I'm sure they probably play Penn State, but like Indiana doesn't play them this year. But I don't think that they're – personally, I don't think they're on Indiana's level. That's my personal
opinion.
No, I
agree
100%.
No, I would never argue that.
And I don't know why they were ranked so high at the beginning of the year. I didn't have them ranked high, and I don't think any of us did.
Missouri took care of business against South Carolina. I did not see any of that game, I don't think. Did anything happen in that game?
Just a condensed game, and it's just Ahmad Hardy is incredible. They're running back down there at Missouri. Missouri, that's another team. They got multiple weapons.
Missouri's dangerous.
It was. It was a day that Bo Prabula didn't look his best, but you know, Ahmad Hardy kind of carried that team. I mean, they ended the day with 285 rushing yards. They're like, all right, we're just going to run on you.
Have they played Vandy yet?
Missouri? No.
Okay,
no.
That game will be 77-76. I can't wait for that one.
I think Missouri's got a little
like
better
dirt
defense
against,
than what
hey,
we think.
Dirt yeah. against dirt. Yeah. Like Dinkaschnitz versus Pavia and his brother. I mean, dude, I will pay money. I might go to that game.
Honestly, Drink may get out there and try to fight Pavia. I mean, I could see that.
He might.
Or do some kind of cheap shot, yeah. you know, like have some guy sitting out in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Eyeing his brother.
Oh, he'll send a walk-on in to do something.
I'm trying to see when that – that is Saturday, October 25th.
There you go.
And the game is in Nashville.
Okay.
That I mean, that is the tail, and also the tail end of, or it's actually it's sandwiched right in the middle of an incredible stretch for Vanderbilt. They play Utah State this Saturday. Then they're at Bama.
Trick game.
Then they have a bye week. Then they have LSU. Then they have Missouri. Then they have Texas. Then they have Auburn. And you run that gauntlet, I'd say you deserve high consideration to be in the playoffs. And I'm not putting it past Vanderbilt. This last year, Vanderbilt was fun mm-hmm. because they kind of came out of nowhere, and this Pavia kind of came out of nowhere, and you know Clark Lee was instilling a little bit of culture into that program. This year, Vanderbilt is good. They're good. I'm not saying they're great. We don't know that yet. But they're good. And I think they're going to, despite, I know Freddie likes Utah State, I think Vanderbilt is going to throttle them this weekend. And I think that game against Alabama on October 4th at 3:30 is going to be must-see television.
Right.
Personally.
Well, Utah State's getting 24.5, so... They're going to put some points on them for sure. But I'm with you. Yeah.
Florida, you know, puts another – there's another nail in the coffin of Billy Napier.
They fought for 3.5 quarters.
They did.
Yep.
They really did. But, you know, it kind of ended the way that we thought it was going to. And, boy, I don't – I guess the fact is that he has this massive buyout, right? Is that the issue right now?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big. It's only like $20 million, isn't it?
Okay.
I don't think it's that massive. No, he's going to get fired. I don't think like his buyout could be $80 million, and
right.
they'll come up with the money. I don't think that's holding him back. But yeah, he's just going to ride this season out, and then. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I don't know. They may – who knows? I don't know what Florida will do. If they're smart, they'll go after John Summerall or Kurt Cignetti. I don't know if Sig will go down there. But
you
got to make a play for the guy.
That's interesting because I heard some people talking about that earlier this week. And part of me is torn on that because – I think that Indiana literally would tell him, we'll match whatever.
Yeah.
They could offer you $15 million a year and we're going to match it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, and I know Sig has instilled, you know, turned Indiana's football culture completely around, and it's awesome to go to games, and they're a great, fun team to watch, but still not Florida, right?
Well, I think the thing that makes Florida so attractive is the recruiting pull in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
If you can get in down there and you get your big boosters behind you, and they're going to these high schools and dropping bags on these kids, that gives you a leg. But there's also the disadvantage of playing in the SEC.
Right.
Which I'm not sure why any coach in their right mind would want to enter into that world.
Well, and so my final thought on that is I don't think there is any amount of money that they could offer him that he leaves IU.
21.7 really is the Napier buyout. Mm-hmm. So that's not that bad.
No.
You know, I mean, what, Jimbo got paid out $80 million,
didn't he? It was something like that, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I don't – $20 million's nothing to Florida. Yeah, down yeah, there, yeah. So.
They'll come up with that for sure. Is there any other game before we talk about the game that I really want to talk about that you guys wanted to touch on from last week? That I haven't touched on yet?
No, I mean, that's basically, there's really no other big games. I was a little disappointed in the way Tulane came out.
Yeah, Tulane just...
I felt like they were a little too front heavy with their schedule early on, and then now they're kind of like, all right, wish we had a bye week before we played this game.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I just didn't like that. Ole Miss looked
none
good.
Of us bet that game.
No.
And I didn't touch Ole Miss game either, and I knew that I had a feeling they were going to come out strong.
That and I guess just real quick, Sparty put up a pretty good fight at USC.
I
think they're going to get that team together.
And there is one other game, a team that we talked about on our group of five preview show that is squarely in the conversation to make the playoff, and that's your Memphis Tigers.
Memphis State.
Yeah, or Memphis State, as I like to call them. Man, that was a Mario Cristobal-esque coaching meltdown from an Arkansas standpoint
Have you guys heard the rumor?
27 unanswered?
Have you guys heard the rumor?
I have not heard any rumor.
That Bobby Petrino's agent has apparently made the call to Arkansas's athletic department saying, hey, if you guys fire Sam Pittman early, let my guy be the intern head coach. Bobby's going to weasel his way back in there.
Man. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Imagine.
I'm begging for that to happen.
That locker room this week where, like, the coaches' meetings, everything, where that information gets leaked out, and Sam Pittman's just like, you coming after my job, dude? Like,
well, of course he is. I mean, you knew that when you hired him. He's a snake.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great offensive football mind, but he's a snake.
You got to take the good with the bad with Bobby.
That's right.
And I always said, like, the thing with Bobby, he's an excellent coach, but he's such an asshole that he can't get people to work for him. So putting a good staff together is where he struggles.
Yeah.
And that's not going to – so you don't want him as a head coach.
No.
That's just – it's going to be an issue. But as a coordinator, if he can just shut up and call plays, what he's done with Taylen Green and that offense down there, electric play calling, front to finish. They can't stop anybody.
Right.
That's their problem. But Bobby ain't got nothing to do with that. And this is Sam Pittman's 6th year.
Wow.
6th year.
That's crazy.
Which I hate it, man, because I love that man.
I know.
But damn it.
I know.
It.
You've always been high on him.
Yeah.
Jeff
Brohm, make him your offensive line coach.
Yeah, right. and then we do need to quickly, because they are a marquee name and one of the five or so big coaching names in college football, the continuation of the cratering of Clemson.
Oh yeah,
we had to talk about Clemson.
That game, I mean, I watched the beginning of it, then they went into like the weather delay for however long that weather delay lasted.
Same old song and dance.
And I kept thinking, man, when that weather delay ends, because I think Syracuse had to play their backup quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. They were down their second string quarterback.
Angeli got hurt.
And they just couldn't. They could not stop them. And, man, you want to talk about punking somebody. Syracuse was running onside kicks and trick plays and, you know, flea flickers and reverses and... They got the lead and they just stomped on them. And I don't know what's going to happen down there.
Here's the problem with being Clemson in the ACC. Every team has you circled and highlighted. And you're the biggest game of the year for that team. for Clemson, it's like, I got to get my guys hyped up to go play Syracuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To go play Virginia, to go play whatever. It's just, it's tough, man. And honestly, this team, I don't get it. There was a comment in that game by the commentator who was just like, oh, well, there's Peter Woods with a sack. I didn't even know he was playing this year. I mean, this is a guy who was, you know, predicted to be a top 10 draft pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And he is, they're not getting anything from the talent out there. And it's become an issue. That I think there's just locker room issues or something down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, after Dabo, we talked about last week, now I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pizzaless. I'm speechless.
Well, what was it? 2 years ago, they had a down year. We kind of thought they were going to be down last year, and they had a resurgence. And they made the playoff, partly because the ACC was so bad. And then we looked at this team that's all been together since they were sophomores and just expected them to be good. But reality is they haven't really accomplished anything since they've all been there.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was so high on the quarterback. You know, he was one of those guys in the top, I don't know, even top four or five in the Heisman mm-hmm. preseason, you know, that hasn't lived up to the billing, clearly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's certainly something going on down there.
He's a four-year starter that's gotten better each year from his freshman to sophomore year, from sophomore to junior year. And then his senior year, we're like, okay, where are you at? Like this, he doesn't look good. It's like him and the receivers who he's been with for a while are not on the same page.
Yeah.
Everything's bad in Clemson.
So if you had to like say at the end of this season, obviously there's tons of football to be played. And anything can happen. We've seen them turn it back around before. But would you be shocked if Dabo is either let go or leaves on his own at the end of this season?
Yes, I would. I don't think
say no.
They're not going to fire him. No. He's not going to leave.
He's not going to leave either.
That's what I'm saying. So you would know. You would.
I'm saying he's staying put.
You would be shocked.
I would be shocked. Okay. Oh, I thought you said, would it happen? No, yes, I would be shocked.
Okay.
There's no way.
That's kind of how I am, too. I think it'd be a huge mistake.
No, I mean, that guy, like, he's earned his right to coach there for at least five more years. You know, like I said, Sam Pittman's been there in Arkansas for 6 years, and he ain't had, like, what, 6-6 was his best season?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And then kind of piggybacking off of that, we got the news earlier today that Mike Gundy has been fired at Oklahoma State.
I'm a man. I'm 60.
Who is kind of one of those guys that had, you know, built that program back up to the level that he did.
Now, he took over directly after Les Miles did, right? When Les Miles, he took over after Les Miles.
Oh, yeah.
So that program didn't need to be built
there.
Up.
Right.
LSU hired him away from Oklahoma State.
You know what? I did not even know that he had come from there.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was the Mad Hatter, man. Yeah, he was at Oklahoma State, and they were a great program under him. Then LSU hired him in, and then Gundy came in and took over right after him. But Gundy's earned the right to coach there for a long time, and he's had, what, three down years in a row now?
Well, so, and this year is just
unacceptable.
A complete crater job.
No.
The fact that they got essentially blown out. I don't even remember who did they play.
Tulsa.
Yeah, Tulsa, and it was like on a Friday night, national television. Not a whole lot of other stuff going on, so everybody got to see it, and they got blown out at home by Tulsa.
Yeah.
And that's unacceptable. And his kind of stubborn refusal to get with the times, per se, which is kind of where Dabo found himself, I think, to a certain extent, is cost Gundy his job. And I would be interested to see.
Well, they need to. Their billionaire died, and now they do not have the funding that they used to have.
Right.
So. They need to start making some calls to some famous graduates.
Well, I'll be interested to see if Gundy finds another coaching job right away, I think he would be dynamite on television.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him at one of these group of five schools just going to town, you know, but I don't know if he can. I don't know if he's lost his fastball, you know. I will see.
I think he's tailor-made for TV.
I agree. Put him on game day or college football tonight or whatever.
Right. Like he could be – I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I could see him becoming – kind of a Corso-esque type of character.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is a character.
Oh, for sure.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, him and McAfee would feed off each other. Yeah,
you're
day.
Right. That may be too much.
They may have to dump Saban and bring in Gundy.
Well, so the last game that I wanted to quickly touch on was...
quickly.
The, you know, 7:30 NBC game. Indiana finally brings in a top 10 ranked opponent. Everybody on game day, except for McAfee, picked Illinois to win because they were going to be too physical for IU, dominate both lines of scrimmage. The Altmyer kid was going to pick Indiana's defense apart, blah, 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 blah. Well, Indiana won the game 63-10. Indiana dominated that game from – it really could have been worse. Indiana had a busted coverage in the first quarter that led to a wide-open touchdown from Illinois. From that point, Illinois, I think, ran three plays on Indiana's side of the field rest of the game.
Total domination.
They ended the game with 2 yards rushing. Indiana had 7 sacks. Indiana scored touchdowns, I think, on 8 straight possessions. And pulled their starters at the beginning of the fourth quarter and didn't throw a pass the entire fourth quarter and still scored 2 more touchdowns. Now, part of that, in my opinion, was Illinois completely quit. Like, they quit. But that's what good football teams do to you. Trust me, I've sat at Memorial Stadium enough times where Michigan or Ohio State or somebody like that made Indiana quit. I've seen it happen. It doesn't happen a lot with IU doing it to another team. Mendoza, fantastic. Again, 21 for 23. 5 touchdowns, Omar Cooper, Elijah Surratt, E.J. Williams, all had touchdowns. Tight end, Nowakowski had a touchdown. The
43-yarder.
Kalon Black had a great rushing game. Roman Hemby had a great rushing game. They finished 311 yards running. It was just complete domination, annihilation. And it has, interestingly enough, all those same people, and I get it last year because the schedule and everything, and even to this year's extent, a lot of people still didn't believe in Indiana. Well, now you're seeing all the national prognosticators all this week, all they're talking about is how good Indiana is, how impressive Indiana was, which, to be quite honest with you, scares the shit out of me. Because
you knew it was coming, though. Y'all dominate, then everyone's gonna you're all over the paper.
Indiana is now going to Iowa, a notoriously difficult place for anybody to play, but specifically Indiana. But Tuna, you and I and Fred all watched the game together on Saturday night, and I know that you know, for valid reasons, had kind of pumped the brakes a little bit on what you thought about Indiana. Now, your immediate reaction, your thoughts to what you saw on Saturday night.
Well, if you remember when we were doing the Big Ten preview and we talked about IU, I said my biggest thing that I want to see is physicality up front, because when IU played super physical teams last year, they kind of got punked a little bit.
That's right.
I don't think that's a question anymore. IU showed me that they are very physical on every level, not just the line of scrimmage. One of the most impressive things that I took away from this game was how well the receivers block downfield, and they do it clean.
Oh, everything's clean.
You know how many holding penalties I've seen this year on wide receivers downfield this year?
Right.
Indiana does it clean, and these guys are willing to block, and they'll even move over and block at the line of scrimmage. I watched Omar Cooper go over off tackle and open a hole. Like, that was – you just – stuff like that's incredible to see.
That was one of the biggest plays of the game
it
early.
It was
on,
right at an early play.
On that fourth down.
Yeah, number three made a mark with me that night. Like, to do the dirty work as a wide receiver, like,
right.
You're not getting that from a lot of these guys. And that's just impressive to me. And then the second biggest takeaway is the front seven for IU. I just can't say enough about them. The linebackers were making every read and call right. They were going at the proper gaps on every play. It's almost like they knew Illinois' playbook. And, nothing was disguised, and they were just playing against something that they knew was coming the entire game because they did everything to perfection.
And then when they get there, I've been so impressed with the tackling of this team. But they never miss tackles.
But that's what I'm telling you. Let me explain something. Yeah, I'm going to mention Bama drink. So what? Here's the deal. There is no crisper team out there that I've seen that reminds me of Nick Saban teams. And, hey, let's be real. Sig played coach was for Saban. He learned a lot from that guy in 2 years. I guarantee it. Especially when he went on to be a head coach. And there are some things that really caught my eye. His demeanor on the sidelines. Some coaches get mad after they've had their eighth penalty. Okay? Then they get mad. Sig gets mad after the first one and looks around and he's ready to kill someone. And they know that's the first penalty. Same as Saban. He did the same shit, dude. And the tackling, let's be real. Bama back in the day when they won their championships was the best tackling team year after year after year. And that was with Kirby. And now Georgia is kind of that way. But dude, I see a lot of things echoed in Indiana, like the blocking, like the crispness, like a clean slated game. Those kind of things, not dominating the defensive line and things like that. But as far as the things that Sig has instilled in them, I haven't seen another team that played a cleaner game yet this year. Maybe Florida State when they beat us, but that was in the goddamn rain.
Well, and one thing that occurred to me as we were watching that game, I had said on the show when we were previewing the game that I really hoped that, even though I didn't think it was going to happen, I said, I hope Indiana's up like by 50 at the end and they run a flea flicker or something and you know, run up the score. I found it even more satisfying that Indiana was up 45 or whatever and didn't need to do that. They just handed the ball off up the middle and scored two more touchdowns.
Yeah, just pushed them back. I mean, they broke their will.
And so that was very, very pleasing to me, I should say.
I tell you, there's two players that I've got circled on that I'm really going to focus on in this Iowa game, and that's number 95 and number 46. I believe Tyreek Tucker and Isaiah Jones.
Yep.
These guys,
Tucker was a beast.
95 was dominant up front in that game. Yeah.
So was Landino, for that matter. I think he had two sacks.
I'll take a look at him too. But yeah, he. But yeah, 95 stuck out to me, and 46 stuck out to me. Again, I don't know.
Pond stuck out to me because he made the play at the beginning that set the tone, and then you never heard his name again. You know why? Because the wide receiver he was checking was on an island.
Well, I think that's the thing. Those units complement each other so well. Like, there was times that IU was just rushing four, getting to the cornerback because he had nowhere to throw the ball in the back.
Right.
So it's like when you get that, and you don't have to make up for your backfield. You don't have to make up for your front four. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they play as a full unit on defense. And I guess I say the front seven stood out to me so much more because that's a lot of where the camera's showing during the plays.
But they play man, right? I mean, Travis, is that mostly what they do?
They certainly did the other night.
I know they did the other night.
Because they knew, I think, that they could get to the quarterback rushing four guys, and they weren't scared of any of their outside receivers.
Well, something scary is Clemson plays a lot of man, and they don't look nothing like this team.
Well, I mean,
a lot of teams play man, and it works out just fine.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's worked out for Clemson for a long time.
It has. And the Tide. Yeah, we do man.
But when you're not getting penalties and you're disciplined, like, that helps so much. Like, you know how many plays, like, when it's third down and a bonehead penalty comes up and you got to stay on the field as a defender, or it just stalls a drive on the offensive side. Like, penalties are a killer, man, and IU is so clean with the way that they play.
I know, and it's going to be fun to see how they play in this this corn-picking.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. We'll save that till towards the end of our this week previews, because there's a lot of great games coming up this week. A lot of great games coming up this week. I'm going to start because...
Even on Friday.
Which one is Friday? Because I didn't know.
Florida State, Virginia.
Florida State at Virginia. Okay. One's 3-1, one's 3-0, and then you got TCU at Arizona State. They're both 3-0, 3-1. So those will be fun games. We don't have to talk about them. But those two games will be fun at 7 and 9 on Friday. Because Virginia's playing well. And that could be an upset alert for Florida State.
I'd love to see them beat Florida State.
Certainly.
So we don't need to talk about those games, though.
Well, we've got three huge matchups in the SEC. I mean, I say huge. Two of them are legitimately huge because of the rankings. One, I think, is interesting because I really want to see Texas A&M play again because I was so impressed with them against Notre Dame. So I'll start with that one, probably the least national importance. Auburn travels to College Station to play Texas A&M.
Right.
And I know what Freddie's going to say about it, but...
Go ahead.
Auburn.
That's my lock of the week.
Okay.
I think Texas A&M is ready, waiting, and they're going to pummel this Auburn team.
I got them on my slip, too.
Because, look, and we talked about it a little bit. You could tell we were probably going to look at this game on Saturday night. Because Auburn's will, the calls they had... They did get some crummy calls against them. I'm not going to lie. But the will to just, they got beat up. They're on the road. Now they're back on the road at College Station on a team that just beat Notre Dame. And Elko ain't going to let this team slip up. Coming off a bye. I mean, and you're telling me you're going to give A&M 6.5? Bring it.
Yeah, all day.
R.C. Slocum.
I think Texas
Where's
A&M
Johnny football?
Is a national title contender, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think they definitely
are. I would be shy. And Auburn, look, they've got wide receivers that could get lucky in this game. You know, Cam Coleman and Cam Coleman.
Yeah.
And Singleton that could maybe just have a breakout. But
never mention Cam Cameron on this.
I was just thinking
right.
that.
On this.
Who's the IU guy
but
on
dude,
this program?
I think
never.
Tuna knows I'm a field guy as far as the football is all concerned. And this is a full-fledged field. The triple F. Full-fledged field game for me. I just don't see Auburn. I mean, maybe they'll keep it to 14, but I don't see it being any closer than that.
I'm calling it right now, Mike Elko, Coach of the Year. I really think that A&M is just a stacked team
yeah.
that really could win a national championship.
Yeah. I know, and I see A&M winning that. Number nine, I mean, come on, Auburn just fell out of the top 25. Like, and they're sitting there on a bye week waiting for this game.
Another big matchup in the SEC, LSU travels to Ole Miss. And ooh, I think this has the potential to be a fantastic ball game. What do you guys think?
Should we ask Josh and Johnny? Because this is one thing you and I didn't know. But if you're an LSU fan, and this is a rivalry that I didn't know about, an SEC rivalry.
Yeah, they
I
do not like
they
Ole Miss.
They hate each other. And, I've heard it from Johnny. I've heard it from Josh. They just hate. And I was like, really, y'all? You're playing Ole Miss today? Y'all hate them? Oh, my God, they hate them worse.
I think the first five times I ever met Josh and, like, the first five conversations I ever had with him, he was telling me about how much he hates Ole Miss.
And I'm so bummed because he's going to be out of town this weekend, and will not be at the party, at the big college football
party.
That's
a shame. I did talk to Johnny about this game the other day on text. So,
yes. But what do you all think? I mean, dude, this is going to be a hell of a game. What time is this at? 3:30?
Let me look that up.
It's 3:30. It's 3:30. Okay. It's the 3:30 ABC game.
3:30 ABC. I mean, it's at Ole Miss. 4-0 versus 4-0, both ranked.
All right.
I mean,
let's dig in here, and I apologize, LSU fans, but let's look at LSU's body of work. It's not overly impressive. When you see what Clemson's turning out to be, when you see what was it, the 20-10 win at home at night against Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this LSU team. Now, that Florida game, they did lose Whit Weeks. Remember, he got put out with the targeting call?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Early on.
And then Brian Kelly came out in the presser or whatever. Yeah. He's like, we're a good football team.
So, you know? I got some little tea that I need to talk about that came out today. Lane Kiffin's daughter.
Oh, mercy.
Released today that they made their relationship official.
Her
that
Whit
she
Weeks.
Is dating Whit Weeks.
Whit Weeks.
Oh, yeah. How you like that, Joey Freshwater?
Oh, my God.
That family is a piece of work.
Oh, it's out of control.
Gasoline on the fire.
Oh, I love it.
An absolute piece of work.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know, man. I think this is going to be 40. I mean, we'll find out what LSU's defense is truly, truly made of in this game. And I have been impressed by their defense. Ole Miss on the other side, who I thought was going to be all defense this year, and their offense was kind of, I was skeptical about. Well, now I'm finding out that their two quarterbacks are leading the surge here. I mean, you got, I don't know if Simmons is back, but I was impressed with him. And now you got Concepcion, who came out of nowhere. Or wait, what's
his
name?
That's not his name's Concepcion.
No, he's got a cooler name than that.
Like Sheehan or
no,
something like that.
It's a cool name.
Hold on, I should know this because the kid's played amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know about amazing, but he's been good. He's been electric. I think that's the word.
I'm mixing up with that wide receiver for A&M. He's got a cool name. He's on the all-name team.
Trinidad Chambliss.
Yes.
Chambliss.
Trinidad.
I think they call
Chambliss.
Him Chambliss.
Chambliss, Chris Chambliss.
I mean, I feel like if you're in Baton Rouge, it's Chambliss.
Yeah, but don't let Trinidad Chambliss come in and beat you.
Yeah, we got that Trinidad Chambliss.
But I do
there.
Feel like this is going to kind of be a shootout, and we'll find out where LSU, you know, where that defense is. But this is going to be a fun game.
I would eat gumbo from a restaurant called Trinidad Chambliss.
Bet
yes,
your ass.
I would too. I definitely would.
Eat anything from that restaurant. That's a great thing about Louisiana. I feel like you can just walk down the street and wander in anywhere and you're going to get amazing food.
How about moving to the Big Ten? There's a super marquee game at night that night, but I find a sneaky interesting game.
Yeah,
and
talk about it.
We talked about it before we recorded today. Is Ohio State traveling out to Washington, who Washington has a great home winning streak going? We know that And I know Tuna said last week he thinks that it's going to come back to the average of teams traveling across the country. I think a lot of that was probably matchup driven last year more than it was the travel part of it. Yeah. But Ohio State does travel out to Washington. Washington has been playing really good football. Their quarterback has been really good. This game right now is an 8.5-point spread. Ohio State favored, but I am interested to see how this game plays out, guys.
Yeah, they it's a 22-game home winning streak for Washington, which is pretty damn impressive.
That's crazy,
hey,
right?
For Jed Fish to come in there and still say we're going to win games at home. He's only been there 2 years, but I think he's doing great things.
Yeah, no, I like this Washington team. Damon Williams, quarterback out there, he's incredible. He made his first appearance in that Sun Bowl against Louisville and played amazing. And I was real excited to watch him this year, and he's lived up. It's funny how some of the underclassmen like live up to the hype, and like the upperclassmen like Kublik and Nussmeier have looked shaky.
Right.
And your boy from Penn State. But no, it's I don't know. The thing with Ohio State is they might be a sleeping giant. We just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And so as far as gambling goes, I'm just not going to bet on any Ohio State games. Because I don't know what to expect. It could be their big breakout game. But I could easily see them going out there and struggling with Washington.
Yeah, Washington, I mean, Michigan State, Washington, obviously IU, are teams that are trending way up. IU's way ahead of them. They've already made the playoff, for God's sake. But was in a tight one with Washington for a little while till the end last year. Washington is another team that is well coached, tackles well, plays all facets of the game well, and they don't have too many. I was looking at them in the score in the country. They don't have many penalties either. So Jed Fish is doing great things there, and that game could be. And look. What's the spread on that?
8.5.
8.5, I was shocked. I thought for sure it would be at least 14, and I guess the streak has to do with that, but no way I'm touching that with that.
No, I mean, I could see Ohio State winning this game by 17-20. I could see
them like,
winning by, you know,
one.
I could even see them losing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
out
of control to see them
but
losing.
But it'll be fun to pop it on that one.
Well, then...
What time is that at, Travis?
I believe that is at 3:30 as well.
Okay, great. Perfect.
I'm gonna double-check that before
that.
We get to
That'll be
to
on
the,
my third TV outside.
It's big noon 30 Pacific time kickoff.
Yeah, that'll be on my TV with no antenna.
Yep, 3:30 on CBS.
Okay.
That brings us to the night games, the two big-time night games. We'll start with the Big Ten because we're just going to touch on this one quickly. And then we're going to give Fred
better for God's sake. They ain't played nobody.
Then we're going to give Fred time to pontificate about his ball club. But Oregon coming into Penn State night game, white out. You know the atmosphere is going to be crazy. I personally think Oregon is a much better football team. I may be proven wrong this weekend, but the atmosphere is going to play some into that. What do you guys think about this big-time matchup?
I think that I watched Northwestern run the ball all over Oregon and kind of dominate their defensive front line a little bit.
Dude.
If Northwestern's doing that, Penn State – is going to pound.
You know how I feel about Oregon.
I think Penn
they're
State
the most overrated team in the country.
Is just going to physically maul them and just pull away slowly and slowly and slowly.
I do too. And I think this quarterback for Oregon's been hot with all his boys.
Dante Moore.
Then he's got another Moore that's his wide receiver target. And da-da. But I just think that I've already said it once. I'll say it again. I don't think Oregon's going to make the playoff. But they do have the easiest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of knocking Oregon because they haven't played anybody and they've just been beating up on nobodies. And we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll win by 14 and shut me up, but I don't see it happen. I'm not going to touch
the game.
Has
Penn State played anybody
yet?
No, they have not.
No.
Neither
one.
I've been complaining about both these teams.
But here's the thing.
But I do think Penn State is a better football team.
Oregon is a better coached football team. Penn State is a more physical football team.
Right.
I'm not going to say talented, but the physicality of Penn State, I think, is going to wear Oregon out. And in that environment up there on a whiteout,
it'll be a fun game.
When you're getting punched over and over in your mouth, I just don't see it like that.
The white unis with the weird green and yellow or whatever, it'll be cool.
I could see Penn State winning this game by double digits.
I want to see Lanning cry. I really do.
Well, Fred, that brings us to the big SEC matchup.
God, are we finally playing again? Jesus Christ.
Both teams coming off of a bye week. And, of course, we're talking about Alabama and Georgia.
Man, I thought we were going Tennessee, Mississippi State.
Now, I do have that on my list.
I got it on my list. Lock.
But it hasn't made the cut to discuss as of yet. We'll see how much time we have at the end of the program. But I wanted to give Freddie time to talk about this big time matchup, what it means for both teams, Alabama and Georgia. Fred, it's all you.
Well, I mean, I hate coming off a bye and playing Georgia, and I don't know if they feel the same way, but I feel like, that loss we had seems millions and millions of moons ago, and I do want to make sure that everyone knows that game was played in pouring rain. Maybe our quarterback didn't like to play in the rain. I know we got our asses whooped in the rain.
It was raining.
But I know one thing. Since it's been sunny, he's only thrown one incompletion out of 70.
So are they going to build a dome down there in Bama,
so
Tuscaloosa?
Maybe, bring it up.
Are we seriously talking about rain?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Is this where we're at as Alabama fans
now? I don't know.
Talking about rain?
I mean, I'm not talking about rain. But,
I certainly didn't expect that to be the the first thing that we broke down about the game.
Well, I mean, we opened up with the sixth-ranked team in the country. So we've got to get better than that. And we haven't really played anybody since then, obviously. Took down a Big Ten team.
Who is awful, by the way.
Who is awful. They should be better, but
they may be the worst team in the Big Ten.
But
they're down there with UCLA right now.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see how our offensive line has changed, because they did not look good in the first game. The other two we're not even going to talk about. So we're going to find out who's going to win the trenches. I do think our quarterback has cleaned some things up. I think our offensive coordinator cleaned some things up. We have our All-American back that didn't play in that game. We have a running back that didn't play. All-SEC running back that didn't play in that game. So I'm excited to see a full Alabama team come in, and I do think Georgia is limited. I think the quarterback is their best running back. I do worry about him because Bama, any mobile quarterback we always seem to have trouble with.
Now, that Frazier guy, he's all right. He's pretty good.
Who?
The Frazier?
Yeah, he's okay, but I get it. But he's not tearing
just
the world
They
up.
Don't have – you think of Georgia running backs, and they don't they haven't had that really in a little bit.
Right,
so.
And I think they're a little light on depth, to be honest with you. I think we got more depth than they do.
I'm telling you about Georgia. We've seen this coming – like last year, you watch it. Like, what'd we say over and over again last year? It was like Kirby's coaching his ass off this year because he doesn't have the guys.
Right.
And then I think it's the same story this year. Like, I think they beat Tennessee solely because Tennessee's top two corners are out. Georgia's not going to put up 44 points in another game.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe.
But after seeing how they played Tennessee, of course I'm worried about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's at Georgia, yeah, and it's Georgia, and it's Kirby Smart, right. So you got to be worried about
it. We were battle-tested and got our asses whooped. They were battle-tested and won, you know, at Tennessee, which is hard to do.
Yeah,
it was
a weird game.
So that right there scares me. So I'm not going into this game confident at all.
Well, no, you're going to Georgia to play. You don't go in confident.
Right.
But reality is, Bama should beat them because I think Bama is a better team than Georgia.
Yeah.
But
I just think that we, as a field guy, I feel like we need something, and we're surging to get that something.
Mm-hmm. I want to see this defense that I thought was going to be generational. I thought this was going to be one of the best defense. Well, I'm just talking defense. I went into this season thinking this was going to be one of the best defenses historically in all of college football, and I want to see that.
Right.
Here's
what I don't want to see. What I saw in the Florida State game, people late to the ball, half-assing it.
That's what
sloppy
I'm
tackles,
about.
Sloppy penalties. If we play a complete game and we lose, I'm happy.
Have we seen a weather report yet?
By God, don't even look. I've already got what's
looks like
name?
73 and sunny.
All right, good.
I've got 79 and a chance of rain.
The hell you
in Athens, Georgia?
Well, just on the little icon underneath the game here.
Oh.
79 with a rain emoji.
Oof. Don't forget your rubbers.
Hope it don't rain.
Yeah.
Maybe these guys
our
need to be rain tested.
Maybe our quarterback needs to wear gloves.
Teddy 2 gloves.
Anyways, I just want a clean game. You know, I just saw a clean game. I want to see another clean game.
Yeah, it was really wild going from watching that IU game the other night to watching the rest of college football.
I know.
And you're like, why they keep stopping it? What's with all these penalties? And then you're like,
yeah.
You're like, that was like just such a smooth game.
It was.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, Georgia's a 3-point favorite.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You went to the NFL and saw nothing but slop.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So go ahead.
We're not going there right
okay.
now.
No.
Well, the Colts aren't slob.
Georgia's a 3-point favorite,
right.
And you know that's
as they should be.
That's the home game, 3 points. Mm. So Vegas sees this essentially as a pick 'em, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Because the 3 points is automatic.
There's
for,
a lot
for
on
being
the line
home
for
team.
DeBoer here. He does not need to get blown out in this game.
Well, and I don't think they will. And I think this is an opportunity for them to really validate themselves, even if maybe Georgia isn't as good as they have been.
Right.
To go there and win would be a massive statement, not just for Alabama as a team, but for him as
When's
a coach
the last time
and
Georgia
a coaching
lost
staff.
At home?
Well,
Did
I think
they lose last year to somebody?
Aren't they like 1-4 against Bama in like the last 5 years or last 4 years?
Yeah, but a lot of those games were like
ACC or SEC,
SEC championship
game.
Game
I know they lost in Tuscaloosa last year.
I was curious who the last team to beat Georgia was. I'll look that up later.
Should have been Georgia Tech.
To beat Georgia at home, I mean, you're talking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and then clearly the biggest game of the weekend sees Indiana travel to Iowa City to play Iowa. I think the last time that Indiana beat Iowa there was, I believe, 2007, when the great Kellen Lewis and James Hardy were on Indiana's team, the Insight Bowl team. Mm-hmm. It's always a really difficult place to play. You know what you're going to get with Iowa. Week in, week out, year in, year out.
Kurt.
Ferentz has the, you know, it always has a good defense.
It's Kirk, isn't it?
Kirk.
They always have a good running game. Their quarterback typically hasn't been great. This guy hasn't been great this year throwing the ball.
What's his name, Gronkowski?
Gronkowski or something weird. It's not just Gronkowski. It's Gronkowski. It's a ski.
But I watched them play against Rutgers the other night. Now, Rutgers.
Goronsky.
Yes, that's it. Goronsky. Rutgers does not have much of a defense.
They don't have a bad football
team. I was impressed with their offense, the way that they were able to move the ball up and down the field on Iowa.
You should have taken the over.
But Iowa in their own building is a whole different animal. And, of course, I'm, you know, as a longtime, long-suffering Indiana fan, am going to be nervous about every game, especially on the road. I do
You should be excited on this one, though. Well, it's going to be fun.
I am excited, and my gut tells me that Indiana is better than a touchdown, you know, should be a more than a touchdown favorite. I think it's 7.5 right now.
Oh, okay. I thought it was lower than that.
No, it's 7.5, I think. I think that's probably about right.
Yeah.
But weird things happen at Kinnick Stadium. I'm glad it's not a night game.
Is that a nooner?
No, it's a 3:30.
Oh, wow. I was like, that's got nooner written all over
it. I'm glad it's not a night game. 3:30 will be good. I think it's the
Peacock.
Yes, it is on Peacock, which is unfortunate.
You going to watch that at my house?
Maybe the second half.
Okay.
Maybe the second half. We'll have to see how it's going. I'd already kind of put myself, and I said, I'm going to watch the first half here, see how it's going, and maybe go. Now, I will be.
He's going to go, turn, bottle up the red wine. Here I go.
I will be at your house for the night games,
right,
for sure.
Right. Oh, of course you want to watch me sweat.
Well, yeah, of course. But so that'll be very exciting. It's an awesome, awesome slate of games with implications flying all over the place.
Nice.
It doesn't even, I didn't know, Tuna, if you wanted to quickly touch on.
Was there any games that you missed? Don't let Fred mention six of them.
Yeah,
no, we don't have time for that.
Rice and Navy.
I did want to let Tuna, if he wanted to, talk about Louisville's first game in their league at Pittsburgh, which has notoriously been a difficult place for them to play.
I want to say one quick thing about Kentucky when he's done, too,
sure,
for our Kentucky fans out there.
Look, Pittsburgh's identity is blitzing and disguising different blitzes, so this is obviously a matchup issue. When we hopefully we've learned how to beat a blitz by now. I don't know. I don't know. With Louisville, I don't know what to make of them. I'm not going to be too down on it yet. I think this is a prove it to me game by Louisville. You're better. You should be better than this team in Pittsburgh. Eli Holstein scares the hell out of me. He's a good quarterback, but Pitt has not looked good this year. I don't think they really have looked good at all.
No.
Typically, when we go up to Pittsburgh and play them, when we've had troubles, it's usually around November when when after the high school state playoffs have been going on,
mm-hmm,
on that field. So the field's usually chewed to shit. And we always have injuries on that field, and it's a nightmare.
Right.
We got. Luckily,
big
it hasn't
going to that game.
That,
you know,
shouldn't
that
be an issue.
Big Cardinal crew, I know, going.
Pitt, amazing running back, great quarterback, and they blitz the hell out of you. So I really don't know what to expect here. I just kind of want to watch it with no expectations and hope to God that
is Isaac Brown and Duke
we're competitive.
Playing.
I don't know yet.
You're not sure.
I have no idea. All Jeff Brohm said was lower leg injuries. We don't know. Now, this is a ACC conference game, so an injury report will come out. So we'll know by Thursday if they're on the injury report or not. I thought Kewan Brown looked amazing filling in for both of them this week.
Yeah.
But still, I think you need Isaac Brown on the field if you want to compete, because he is an absolute game changer. And not having
just like
him
your wide receiver
against which one? Oh, Colin Lacey has been great.
Lacey is a stud.
Yeah, I was so nervous about him returning kicks or returning punts, because I was like, don't put him back there. It's a good way to get, you know, one
sure,
of our top guys
but
hurt.
I feel like he's it gets him.
But
fired
you got
up
to, because the minute he touches the ball, he's electric.
Right.
But I don't know. There's so many question marks for both Pittsburgh and Louisville, so I really don't know how to answer or preview this game. I just say, Louisville fans, sit back and watch. Keep your expectations low, and hopefully we can get some momentum going into Virginia the following week.
And Louisville's a 4.5-point favorite.
That has dropped significantly. I think they opened as a 7.5-point favorite, and money is flooding in on Pittsburgh.
And see, I think the Indiana line opened at like...
That was 7.5, wasn't
but
it?
I think it opened at 5.5.
Oh, did it?
And it went up to 7 in like an hour.
Okay.
And now it's sitting at 7.5, so...
I got you.
Of course, I am not going to break my karma. I have not picked Indiana, I don't think, all year to cover, and I will continue to not do that. Yeah. Colin, of course, is
oh,
the
every week
is, I'll probably bet
is
him
the
too.
Diametric. No, I'm not saying I don't bet them. Oh. I bet they're oh, never they're never an official pick of mine.
Right. Oh,
on the show.
I got you.
And so, Fred, I know Kentucky
yeah.
has a very winnable game this week. It
yeah.
looks like. Against South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, for all our Cat fans out there, and I know we got quite a few that listen to the show, and I feel like UK fans are upbeat, quite frankly, the way that the season thought it was going to start. I mean, Ole Miss has turned out to be better than everybody thought. I thought UK played them tough. Hell, I think UK's played them as tough as anybody has. They figured out their quarterback, which they should have had him starting all along. I don't know why he didn't start the first two games, but he is what he is. They have a running back that's going to play on Sundays. This kid is unbelievable. They're using their tight ends. Their defense tackles well, playing hard, good smash-mouth Kentucky football right now. And I see... Kentucky coming off a bye. There's not a lot of griping around Lexington. There's griping going on down down there in South Carolina. And little buddy's in trouble down there. His quarterback is now out. His backup is not good. And I got a feeling that Kentucky is... I am betting them. I have already bet them, but they're not going to be in my five picks, but I've already put them on a parlay. They are one of my upset specials. Kentucky is going to cover and could possibly win down there at South Carolina. They're fresh. South Carolina's on their heels. They're beat up, and I can see Kentucky going in there and getting a great road game, road win that they need desperately.
I agree with that. And, you know, I don't think there's one coach in the SEC that Stoops hates more than Shane Beamer.
It's true.
So he really wants this.
He does.
So, like, this is his Super Bowl this year,
I think. They've played well down there.
They have, and they've played worse in Commonwealth.
Yeah.
It's like when they go down there and play, they put up a fight. When they come here or down in Kroger Field, sorry, call it Commonwealth, but Kroger Field, they just get their ass kicked.
And my house is going to be rocking Saturday night because I've got all the Cat fans are coming.
Oh,
so,
Lord. So I know we'll where I'm
Bama,
not going to be on
we're
Saturday.
We're going to have Bama on a TV. We're going to have...
Did I just say that I was going to his house?
Yeah, you may want to rethink that.
I may have to rethink my scenario.
Oregon-Penn State's the night game. We're going to have Oregon-Penn State on TV.
God, that Kentucky game is going on the same time as those two games.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh, man.
So those three.
You may have to quarantine them all in like the upstairs bathroom.
Well, they're going to be.
Give them a TV in the bathroom up there.
I'm going to put some different.
Give them a little cooler.
I always put different games on in the garage bar. So, but yeah, I'm calling that UK as one of my upset specials this week. Definitely cover.
All right. And we'll get to covering more college football here quickly. We are getting close to the end of the program. We've got to discuss one of the major things going on in sports outside of football, which I've been so wrapped up in my own little world with football, etc., that I haven't given it the attention that I typically do. But the Ryder Cup starts this Friday, Fred.
Let's go.
The Ryder Cup starts this Friday.
Can I say something? I had to go digging for all my America stuff, too, because of the damn soccer
team.
You
never
team's
put
horrible.
Your America stuff deep
well,
in the closet.
Well, the soccer team's horrible. 4th of July is over with. And now I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot Ryder Cup. So I got to go get, you know, I got all my gear ready.
Now, I'm just going to. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, breaking down the pair.
We should win.
Because we don't know the... Do you think so?
Yes, I do. I think that this year, with Scheffler, and I know Scheffler, it's a single-man sport, but I just feel like that this is Scheffler's team. You know, and I love our captain, and I think that he...
Man, that Euro team's loaded.
Because
it's loaded.
Here's
dude.
What I'm looking at.
I've got all the player rankings right here.
I'm just going to go down the list of the American team and the European team. And you tell me on paper, just on paper, who has the better squad. The United States team is Scheffler, Schauffele,
Winner.
DeChambeau, J.J. Spahn, Russell Henley, Harris English, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Cam Young, Cantlay, Sam Burns, and Ben Griffin. Now,
and the X factors there are Sam Burns. Who's the guy that won the U.S. Open?
J.J. Spahn.
J.J. Spahn, and then Cam, who's playing
Cam
lights
Young.
Out
Cam
right
Young.
Now. Those three guys are going to have winning records.
Is Cam Young playing lights out?
Now, yes.
Has he
oh,
been?
My God, yes.
Okay.
At the end. Right before, yes, he was in the top 15 for the money. Now, I'm not sure about Harrison English and a couple of them others.
Now, here's the European
That's
team.
It right there, a couple of them others.
Here's the European team. Rory. Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood,
he's playing hot.
Justin Rose,
both of them
Hogard,
yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton, Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm,
yeah.
Sepp Straka, and Oberg. Yeah. Like that team to me
it's
is
loaded.
Absolutely stacked.
Yeah. If the U.S. wins this, I've feel like it's a major upset.
Right. Okay.
What are the betting odds on this?
I just looked, and I guess it's because it's being played here in the United States, but the United States is a slight betting favorite.
And this is, have we told the guests where this is, Travis?
Bethpage Black in New York.
Bethpage Black in New York. And when the New Yorkers start yelling and screaming.
Oh, it's going to be... It's going to be crazy there.
And who are the captains, Travis?
Keegan Bradley and Luke Donald.
Okay. Has Luke Donald been a captain before, that old turd?
No, I think he's been on a team that kicked the shit out of the United States
three or four times. Hell.
But, you know, so it starts Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be awesome.
We'll see him crying his ale.
I will be pleasantly surprised if the United States
wins. So these games
are
going to – these matches are going to just go Eastern Standard Time, baby.
Yeah, it starts
so
at –
So it starts at 8 and going to end at 5.
It's actually goes 7 in the morning till 6 at night.
Till 6 at night.
On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday's action is on USA Network and I believe Peacock.
Oh, man, there's that damn Peacock again.
But you can get it all.
What happened to the NBC
Peacock? It's on USA.
No. You get it all on USA, and then Saturday and Sunday it'll be on NBC.
The real Peacock.
And
I like to see them two peacocks fight.
So I think.
I think they're the same company.
It's always. To me, it's always.
I think they banned that except for Eastern Kentucky.
One
it's
peacock,
the only place where peacocks
one
can still
peacock
fight.
Is a shady scumbag, I'm telling you.
It should be a lot of fun. It's always, to me, Ryder Cup is always must-see television.
Travis and I have had champagne poured on us.
We did.
We know all. We've been through the stories at Valhalla. He had his Ruzioni jersey on. I mean, we've talked to the captains. We have been knee-deep in it.
Yep, I can't wait.
Wonder if my little headphone thing still works.
Mine's hanging up right up there.
I wonder if you
could
put that
on
it.
No, they didn't make those anyway to be able to change the battery.
That would be so cool.
Because I've looked at that before, and those only worked when you were on the ground.
Right, right. Those are a great invention, though.
So that'll be great.
Go America.
Yep. Of course, we'll be rooting like crazy for the United States. Should be a lot of fun. I didn't know if you guys wanted to talk at all. I know we did a little bit last week about your NFL teams and where you feel. Just
no.
2 minutes.
No.
Tuna, you feel about the Chiefs after the game the other night?
I mean, we got to win. Like, look. Reality is we're just trying to limp through games until we get healthy. And I think it was nice to get a win. And now we're playing the 1-2 Baltimore Ravens next week. So who'd have thought these two teams.
Yeah. Crazy
going at it on, which by the way, I'm a little nervous about because it's the game of the week, the America's game of the week at 4:25, but the Colts are playing at 4:05. So I'm wondering if we're going to get bumped for the local to play the Colts.
Well, I will tell you this. If you need to, you can come over here, and I'll have the game on in the basement.
I've got my cheater box.
Oh, well, yeah.
The thing is I'm working Sunday. So
you
it would
be able
nice
to watch it on your phone,
to have it on the phone. At least I'll be home for the second
Ryder
half.
Ryder Cup's
going to
be on here.
Yeah, if not, I'll watch the Ryder Cup.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How ironic is that you're waiting on your team to get healthy when the rest of the NFL is hurt?
Yeah. But why is that ironic?
I just think that because the NFL is about people getting injured all the time.
Well,
the
when
stars
I say getting
don't
healthy,
ever play.
One of them's getting healthy and the other one's getting healthy from suspension.
Right.
He's getting his mind
well,
right.
Well, either way, I mean,
his mind
block
right.
Kicks, 7 hurt QBs.
All right, Fred, we're not.
Seriously, you're ruining my Sundays. Oh, I want to talk about this.
Wide receivers,
you are ruining my Sundays because you just wake up getting mad about the NFL and you text all day long about how awful it is. Find something else to watch. Don't bet on it.
I
dude,
just
like,
found.
Watch the Ryder Cup Sunday.
You know what? Laverne and Shirley, I found the
great.
Lost tapes.
You look like Squiggy.
I hear you, Lenny. But, yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough about the NFL.
As long as Yeah.
Except I will go on record again as saying that.
Don't line up my wide receiver at running back. Please.
Go ahead and build the base for the statue of Daniel Jones right next to the one of Peyton Manning out
right,
in front of
right,
did
right.
you see him on Manning Cast last night?
I certainly did.
Boy, you talk about Mr. Personality.
Yes, he is.
Whoa.
I mean, they don't call him Mr. Dynamic for nothing,
jeez,
do they?
Jeez, man. Like, they were trying to get anything out
they
of him.
They were.
Nothing.
They were.
Like, yeah.
He is not exactly Kenny Stabler or Joe Namath on the charisma meter.
It's good, though. He's focused. That just means he's focused, Travis.
I suppose that is true. Now, as I said at the beginning of the program, we have had a very successful first 4 weeks of the college football season relative to our picks against the spread. This week, I would expect them to be no different. So, I'm going to go ahead and call last call. You have anything you want to talk about before we end the show and give me your 5 picks, and we're going to start with Tuna.
All right, to get to it real quick, it was announced earlier today that Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in the 2026 season after the World Series is over with. But anyway, basically it's like they're going to be using robots. And
like the tennis thing,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. What do they call that? They use an initials or an acronym, but, so they're going to go to that. And I think it's, hitters, pitchers, and catchers will be the only ones allowed to trigger the system. And they get it by tapping on their head. So that means they want to call it. And if the challenge is successful, the pitch will be shown in the stadium video boards, so teams will retain it. But I don't know. It's a big change, and I kind of like it, but I think these players are going to burn through it real quick.
Yeah.
Because we always see guys arguing with the ref,
right.
And then it's not up to the manager to call it. It's up to the player to call it. So I'm curious to see how the teams designate this,
right,
and approach it. And then I guess it is time for my picks.
Let's have them.
All right. Number one, we're riding again
fun.
With Willie Fritz and the boys.
Minus
13.5 against Oregon State.
Yes. 0-4 Oregon State.
Now, what's scary about this, it's 10:30 p.m. game.
I know.
And it's up there at the Chainsaw World. But I don't even know if these guys are even showing up to the games anymore.
I don't think they have any chains on their saws.
They don't. They got weed eaters now. And then you got Notre Dame, -4
Whoa.
At Arkansas.
Whoa.
I'm big game hunting this week, boys. I love Notre Dame to go down there. There is turmoil in the coaching room right now.
Okay.
Then I'm going to keep riding with Lance Leopold against my better judgment.
Oh, my Lord.
-5.5 at home against the Scott Satterfields of Cincinnati.
Oh, I knew you hate them. Oh, my God.
And then we're going Texas A&M, -6.5 at home against Auburn. And then this is where I'm really going big game hunting.
Oh, shoot.
I'm taking Penn State to cover the 3.5 against Oregon.
I like it.
I think it's easy money.
I agree. Take that, Lanning.
And those are your tuna special.
All right, Freddie.
Okay, I want to commend the SEC. They came out with who the SEC rivals are going to be. And I know a lot of people, old school fans, have been on pins and needles about this. And I thought they did a great job. I think everyone pretty much got their rivals that are set.
Except I thought Vandy got jobbed by not having Kentucky.
Do those teams even care about
each other, though?
But I don't know, but that is...
That was always such a fun game. I mean, I've been
it's because they were both bottom feeders for so long.
Well,
it was like a game
but
that
it was
win.
Also a game where a lot of the Kentucky fans would come to Nashville.
True.
Like,
anytime Kentucky can go to Nashville, they're going.
Tuna, I've been to probably 10 of those games.
Yeah,
and they
always
were always
been fun.
Yeah, you can get tickets for $4.
I think the Bama-LSU one was kind of a late
Take
rivalry
your whole family.
That we have with LSU just because of ratings and everything. But I thought they did a great job on all of the rivalries, and I think everybody in the SEC is happy. I'm sure that the other conferences will do the same. Also, I wanted to mention some quick, not going to say nothing about them, just mention some quick, four games into the season, some overachievers, okay? Let's go in, let's say, I want to mention some overachievers. Virginia and Syracuse in the ACC and Florida State are overachieving. In the Big 12, Houston is 3-0 and under overachieving. Those other teams were undefeated, by the way. Rice-A-Roni and North Texas are overachieving at 4-0 and 3-1. Maryland and Washington have moved up the list in the Big Ten, and in my opinion, Maryland is a major overachiever, and beware USC. They're playing well. And then my last overachiever in the Mountain West is Fresno State at 3-1. They're top with UNLV. Of course, we knew Vandy and all them. We knew the SEC was going to overachieve.
Who was the overachiever that got their ass
kicked
last week? Cal.
We didn't mention them. Mississippi State at 4-0 is doing well with an upset on Arizona State.
I mean, Jeff Lebby's doubled his wins from last year.
Then I want to, real quickly, I want to give a couple people ask me, well, if you're so hot, Freddie, why don't you give me a little tip on what your style is? And, hey, everyone has their own style. There ain't no style. And next week I might be crying in my beer that my style don't work. But right now, I'm going to tell you my style.
You keep it a secret. Your
style should be a
secret.
I don't want it to be a secret. That ain't how Freddie plays. Here's what you do. you go through and you go through the 8 o'clock, the 12 o'clock games, and you pick four from 12 to 3 that you like. You put them in a parlay and you adjust all, you adjust the spreads. If you're not going to win unless you adjust the spreads, folks. Adjust the spreads, 2 here, 2 there. Then you get your 3:30 to 6 o'clock games. You'd pick 4 there. Then you do the late night games, 8 to midnight. That way you're not waiting. You don't win 3 teams and then you're waiting on a 10 o'clock game to get your parlay. Then you can put more money down if you win that earlier one.
Yeah, I think that's betting 101. Parlays.
It is,
you
but
never,
not everybody knows that.
You don't
that,
do
that
parlays
to our show.
Unless you do money lines or alternate spreads. That's the only way to play parlays.
I got well.
And I don't mess know. With parlays normally. I'm a straight up spread better a lot. But I will if I do parlays.
I like parlays because I hit them.
Well, if I do the alternate spreads and so on, but I just hate the minus money. And when you go, you build it up
just
enough
a little bit
to where you've got 3 teams on the line for like a plus 180 to plus 200 bet. I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze on something when you've got 3 teams involved.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't, there's just more things that can go wrong. But if that's what's working,
$25.
Yeah.
And that's what's working. Not Freddie, much. Your picks.
My picks are. Let's go into the Big 12. I'm going number 24, TCU, +2 at 3-1 Arizona State. I'm going
in the desert.
I'm going home dog, Syracuse, getting 6 from Duke, who did just win their last game over NC State, but I think Syracuse is playing a lot better than NC State. I've got A&M -6.5 at home versus Auburn. That's the same one that Tuna has, #9, Texas A&M. I got a late game. Of course, I've been winning on these boys. BYU at Colorado. Deion is 50-50. He's lukewarm. He's not playing. He's not winning games he should. BYU is 4-0. And
they look good against Wyoming last week.
Top on defense and offense in the country, -7. So we'll take the BYU Cougars, who just cracked the top 25. And one of my big boy picks is, let's go down to Mississippi State Cowbells. I'm taking Tennessee, who's firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. #15, only -7.5. Come on, Jeff Lebby. You ain't going to beat them.
I think this is Mississippi State reality check time.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I like that bet a lot.
Yeah. TCU, Syracuse, A&M, BYU, and Tennessee.
All right. Colin has UCF getting 6.5 points at Kansas State, which seems odd to me.
Say that again.
UCF, who is actually been playing decent ball.
Great.
Yeah.
They're getting 6.5 points.
Good
Kansas
Lord.
State cannot afford to lose this game.
They
that
can't.
Is
true. God dang, I might bet that one too later.
This is a we've got to get our shit together game for K-State.
How yep. did I skip over that one?
He's also taking U of L to cover the 6.5. He is taking TCU to cover, they are.
They have a great quarterback.
Getting 2.5.
Great mm-hmm. quarterback.
He's taking Rutgers, who's getting 5.5 against Minnesota. And then, of course, he's taking Indiana to cover the 7.5. We already knew that. Travis is taking Vandy to cover the 22.5. I think that's the easiest bet of all easy bets all week. I think they probably beat Utah State by 40.
I think it's upset special.
They're going to beat them by 40.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. I bet you on the side, it'll be at least 30. I promise.
Well, you just said 40.
Well, I'll give you 40 then.
No, loser shaves his head.
Let's do
Vandy
a beer
is gonna,
for
30. Vandy is going to kill them.
Let's do a beer for 30.
I'm taking Notre Dame -4.5 to blow out Arkansas. I'm taking Central Florida to cover the 6.5 against Kansas State. Here's where I'm.
I like how you took that. And then when Colin said it, you're like, I think that's just a really weird bet.
Oh, wait, I thought it was South Florida.
No.
Is it Central?
No, I didn't think it's a. I didn't think it was a weird bet for him. I thought it was a weird line.
Okay.
Like I thought Central Florida. I mean, I think they're going to beat them.
Yeah, no, they're playing really good ball, and that's what I was saying. It's like Kansas State's got their back against the wall right
yeah.
now. So.
No, I'm totally on UCF there. Then I'm going to probably go on a side thing that you guys didn't want to touch, but I'm taking Washington to cover that 8.5 against Ohio State.
All right, somebody's got to do
it. Boys.
Let's do it.
I mean, we'll see what Ohio State has.
Hey,
and then
I'll be pulling for the Huskies all day.
And then I am also taking Syracuse to cover the to cover the 5.5 against Duke. They're getting 5.5 against Duke.
You boys don't want to run sprints no more
in the Carrier Dome.
I love it,
man. That's a weird place to play. And so.
UConn didn't have trouble
with it. That is true.
But they've grown up a lot since. After running sprints after that game.
Yeah, I was having to run. So let's go through our picks one more time quickly.
UConn.
We're going to go through our picks one more time quickly. I've got Travis has Syracuse +5.5 against Duke. Washington +8.5 against Ohio State. Vanderbilt -22.5 against Utah State. Notre Dame -4.5 against Arkansas. And UCF +6.5 at Kansas State. Colin has UCF +6.5. Indiana -7.5. U of L -6.5. TCU +2.5. Rutgers +5.5. Tuna has Houston -13.5. Notre Dame -4. Kansas -5.5. Texas A&M -6.5. And Penn State -3.5. Freddie has TCU +2. He's got Syracuse to cover the 5.5. They're getting 5.5. A&M to cover 6.5. BYU -7, and Tennessee to cover the 7.5 against Mississippi State. You know, it's funny. I had picked Oregon. That was going to be my number one pick of the week. And then I heard you guys talking about it. And I completely went, yeah, I don't think so.
You know what? I've done that a bunch. Like, you all talked me out of many bets.
So I totally wish-washed on that. And now I think Oregon be lucky to be in the ball game, like, with 5 minutes to go. But, no, man, it's great stuff tonight, guys. And hopefully we stay hot. I think we will. This weekend's slate of games is dynamite. The Ryder Cup is going to be must-see television. Major League Baseball coming down to the wire to see who makes the playoffs. Next week's show should be great. Want to remind everybody, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Let them know you can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.